The Jag Bros are back. Episode number 2. We had a ton of fun recording episode 1, and we're pumped to be back. I'm Jack Raymond, along with my brothers, JT and Joey. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. It's a great day to be a Jaguar. We got some big news.
Yes, we do. And I'm really excited about seeing some of the feedback from episode 1. Loved hearing what you guys had to say. We even are international already. We have folks from Japan and Germany. So shout out to you guys. Appreciate the listen. Continue to tell your friends about this podcast as we approach the season.
Absolutely. Yeah, to Joey's point, I was kind of thinking going into this week that we wouldn't have too much to cover, that we're kind of in the middle of the dog days of summer when it comes to football, but definitely a lot going on in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. In fact, we are, as of today, 94 days away from the Jaguars season opener. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to introduce a new segment in just a minute, but want to let you know kind of what we hope to cover today in episode 2. We also hope to talk about the big news regarding the super stadium that the Jaguars are building. We're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence. Where do you guys rank him among NFL starting quarterbacks? We're going to talk about the Jaguars backfield as a whole, how you guys see the running back split situation going, and a whole lot more Jag stuff. But here we're going to start with a new segment. So JT is the oldest brother. And for those who know JT well, and for those who don't yet, JT is a Jaguars fanatic, and he has some super entertaining posts on Facebook specifically. And so we're going to do a game here in a minute where Joey and I are going to share some past posts from JT on Facebook, and he's going to try to guess what season, and bonus points if he can guess the month that he posted this Facebook post. So JT, tell our viewers, our listeners, a little bit about your Facebook post.
Yeah, so a lot of folks know me and from the Facebook posts throughout the years. So probably almost 12 or 15 years ago, I started posting just my level of excitement, or in most cases, frustration with the team. And I certainly did not allow myself to pause before firing something off about us potentially going to the Super Bowl after winning game 1, or the fact that we should clear house after a bad half of football. So it's always an emotional roller coaster. Unfortunately, that roller coaster has been mostly down over the last decade or so, but it should be fun this year because I think there's an opportunity for it to be mostly up, or at least I'm starting to build my expectations, that is.
So I'll start it off, JT, with this game. I think this is going to be a pretty fun one, and maybe one that will stump you. Starting off with, I know it is preseason. I know and am not surprised to overreact, but my anger is already starting to turn to sadness. Jag fans, Henny is who we thought he was. Terrible. There is no hope. Our team is in turmoil. The vultures are swarming. Death is near. It's like watching a ship slowly sink before my eyes. The problem is, it's not just one hole. The captain, we're taking on water. SOS, SOS, SOS. Hashtag iceberg dead ahead. Hashtag here we go again. Oh, can you man. Tell me when this was, JT?
First off, that was pretty poetic of myself, if I do say so. So obviously it was during the Henny years. It seems like, I think this is early on in the Henny years where people are excited about him, but I was not exactly thrilled to have Henny as our quarterback. I'm going to guess 2015, maybe. And I think it's probably during a preseason game, so I'm going to guess July or August.
Well, you got the month right in August, but you're wrong on the year. This was actually 2017, right before the really good season.
Oh, wow. Well, Henny was not the answer for that season either. So I guess I was partially correct on that, but that is interesting. There was not a lot of expectations going into 2017. And it turned out Blake Bortles was the answer, at least for one season for us. What else you guys got for me? Let's see if I can get the next one.
All right. Well, speaking of Blake Bortles, here's one for you, JT. Opposite end of the spectrum. So all caps. What a day for the kings of the NFL. That's right. All caps again. The Jacksonville Jaguars Bortles for MVP, Jacksonville to the Super Bowl. Again.
Wow. There's not a whole lot of great games to choose from Bortles. So I'm going to guess this was after the Pittsburgh Steelers playoff game where we scored 40 points on offense to beat them in Pittsburgh.
So this was actually the following season. So that's what
would have been my guess. England at home?
Yeah, 2018 September. And so I guess the carryover of 2017.
Yep. That was a high moment for us Jags fans. And then it all fell apart as Jalen Ramsey is holding out for his money and the injured back and the rest of the team kind of crumbled for the rest of the year.
Definitely. All righty. Here is another one, JT. Ugh. I hate Tennessee. I hate Mariota. Are you kidding me? We lost to a one-arm quarterback? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. I hope Tennessee loses every game from here on out. Tennessee always brings out the worst in us. It doesn't make sense. They are horrible. The worst thing we could have done was knock Gabbert out of the game.
Knock Gabbert. Oh, man. So this is probably 2014. Or no, sorry. No. This is when Gabbert was on Tennessee, not when he was on our team. This has to be 2018 or 2019, I would guess, and maybe November.
You're right on the year, 2018, but it was in September.
Ah, early on when the hopes were still high.
Yes, this was right after we had just beaten the Patriots and then lost to Tennessee.
Well, good job, JT. Pretty impressive. We're going to do some more for sure in the future. And let us know your thoughts. Go find JT Raymond on Facebook. We may tweet some on our Twitter account, too. We're getting on Facebook as well as the Jag Bros. And so follow us there and make sure to check out some of those.
It is time for the Jacksonville Jaguars to go nationwide and for the world to actually accept how good the Jaguars are. And we're going to do it with this new stadium. I don't know if y'all have seen it yet, but it was just released today and it looks very similar to SoFi Stadium out in LA. We're going futuristic, kind of looking like a spaceship. It looks incredible. It's going to put Jacksonville on the map. I can tell that they want Jacksonville to be an absolute place to be. Now that a lot of people are moving to Florida, it's going to be a hub. This whole little ship yards that they're making, they're putting a Four Seasons up there. It's going to be really nice. The stadium, the new practice facility. Jacksonville's really trying to bring in a lot of people. And you can tell that it's not just going to be for the Jaguars as well, but they want a lot more stuff. They were talking about maybe having the Super Bowl there again or the NFL draft. It's going to be a great time. What do you think about it, Jack?
Well, you know what's awesome about it, Joey? And I just love so much because we all know this. Everyone for years and years and years has talked about the Jaguars moving, and especially in the last several years, the Jaguars going to London. And this just really cements that the Jaguars are staying in Jacksonville, fully investing. Yeah, I love that line from the video on social media, the future has arrived. And it's just cool. I mean, how often are the Jaguars one of the top headlines on ESPN, trending on Twitter? Everyone's talking about the Jaguars, and it's going to be epic.
So many people have reached out to me in the last couple of days saying how excited they are about this stadium, and they're not even Jags fans. I mean, it's one of those stadiums that piques your interest regardless of which team you cheer for, and it's built to be an experience just going to that stadium. If you think about like some of the trends recently over the last few years or even a couple of decades at this point of less viewership, less folks going to the actual stadiums themselves, part of what you have to do in order to attract the folks is making an experience like this. So very excited about it. The only downside, I think, is here you are, here are the Jacksonville fans. You finally have a team that you can root for, a quarterback that seems like a franchise quarterback, a team that should be good for years to come. And oh, by the way, during the peak of his productivity, we're probably going to have to play outside of Jacksonville for two of those years, whether that's Orlando, whether that's Gainesville. I've seen a few other different options thrown around, but you do start to feel for some of the Jaguar fans there in Jacksonville and the fact that they wouldn't be able to get to experience Trevor in his prime.
Yeah, I'll jump in here just on some practical stuff. That's the most likely option. I did some digging on, you know, how long is this going to take? What's it going to look like? So the option the Jaguars president is leaning towards is 2 years of relocation during the time of renovation. But they're also tossing around an option of 4 years renovation where they could actually still play in the Jaguars stadium that whole time. It's just going to cost more money. I think upwards of close to $200 million more dollars. But I'm also thinking, hey, what's another $200 million when you're paying potentially upwards of $2 billion? But hey, I'm not the one paying for this stadium. But either way, yeah, it's going to be an incredible stadium. If you haven't seen it, just Google Jaguars new stadium. It's a masterpiece.
Here's a question for you too. I mean, the fact that we are building this stadium, do you guys think there's going to be a chance to host another Super Bowl in Jacksonville?
Definitely. I know that some people didn't like us hosting it years ago, back in, I believe, 2007 it was. But there was nothing wrong with it being in Jacksonville, I believe. And now with this stadium, it's going to be on par with maybe the Vegas Stadium and SoFi, where they host it a lot. So I think this would be a definite possibility to host another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Jags definitely put their name in the hat for future Super Bowls. I know in the video they talked about international soccer matches, which are huge. And yeah, you know, talking about 07, the Super Bowl, it was great. It was so fun to be here, but the weather was so bad. So I do hope if we get another Super Bowl, I hope we get some beautiful Jacksonville weather again, because that's what people want, you know, the sunshine. Although this new stadium is going to help with the weather effects too.
That's a great point. And a quick correction too is actually 2005 associated with the 2004 season for the Super Bowl that was hosted in Jacksonville. And you're spot on, Jack. I don't think I've ever seen a worse weather week for the city of Jacksonville. And all of us grew up there, lived there for 15, 20 plus years at that point. And the fact that it was such a bad weather week, logistically, the city of Jacksonville is not where it is today and where it could potentially be in the future. So I know there are some challenges with hoteling and other logistics. So if you put the stadium to me, that screams, we want the opportunity to host another Super Bowl in the future.
Yeah. But I mean, with a brand new stadium and they're putting a Four Seasons right there in the shipyards and that new practice facility, I mean, it just screams Super Bowl and screams like it's going to be a very good time.
So Roger Goodell, I know you're listening to the Jag Bros podcast right now. Future Super Bowl, Jacksonville Stadium. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. I heard they may even do college playoffs there as well.
You have a stadium like that, and you're going to be at the top of the list for a lot of different opportunities, whether it's college football, it's international soccer matches, it's all of those things, and really excited to see it continue to come along. Well, this is the time of year where there's a lot of rankings going on, rankings of quarterbacks, rankings of teams, rankings of individual players. And our cousin Pender sent us a message last week talking about the ranking of Trevor Lawrence. And so there's a number of different rankings out there, and pretty much everywhere that we've seen so far has Trevor somewhere in between 6 and 8, where you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Jalen Hurts, you have Josh Allen, you have Herbert, typically are your top four.
And then there's Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow, you're right. And then you have a shuffling kind of the 6 through 8 range of Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and Trevor Lawrence. So, boys, I'm going to turn it over to you guys. Where would you put Trevor based off of his performance so far?
I would put Trevor right behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers' best days are quite behind him yet. I think that he's still going to be very good. But I think that Trevor's already surpassed Lamar Jackson. I haven't seen that much out of Lamar Jackson since he won MVP. He's gone kind of downhill. I would like to see him play a lot better for me to believe that he's better than Trevor Lawrence.
Man, Joe, you're buying the Rodgers and Jets hype right now. I'm a big seller on the Jets and Rodgers. I think his
sell.
Definitely. I think he finishes the top 10. This is Rodgers finishes the season outside of the top 10 this year. You know, looking across the quarterbacks in the league, you've got to put Mahomes number one category of himself. I'm a big Burrow too. You know, I think he's in his own category of number two. And then I think there's a big argument for how you would rank Josh Allen, Hurts, all those guys you mentioned earlier, JT. I think Trevor probably realistically falls further down that list. But I also think he's going to have a breakout year where some of these other guys I could see not having a strong year. I don't think Josh Allen and the Bills are going to be as strong as they've been the past couple of years. I think Lamar Jackson will be good, but not MVP level again. And so I think you could see, I would rank him probably 6 or 7, but with the potential to finish at number 3 quarterback in the league right now. What about you, JT? Where are you ranking Trevor?
That is absolutely spot on. That's exactly what I would have been saying. Personally, I agree with you, Jack. I'm a seller of Aaron Rodgers. I thought his production last year was way down, and I get he didn't have the weapons that Green Bay has historically had, but I mean, it just something feels off. And at the end of the day, I mean, he's going on 40 years old at this point, so you can't keep that up at that level for that long. And yeah, I would certainly rank Trevor ahead of him at this point. Lamar is one of those guys that's so split. I mean, there are folks that would have Lamar as high as 3 or 4, and certainly as a really good fantasy option. But at the same time, Joey, you brought this up. He hasn't finished a season. He's not trending in the right direction. Yeah, he's got some more offensive weapons this year, so there's no excuses, and he's got a new offensive coordinator. But I'm not 100% sold on him. I do think 6 is right. There are some Jags fans that would have a heart attack now saying that we would rank Trevor behind Justin Herbert, even though we beat him in last year's playoffs. But in reality, Herbert's done it now back-to-back years where he's been above average. He also has a new offensive coordinator, and so they're trending in the right direction. And Trevor didn't look that great in year one. So he's had one good year. Let's continue to build on it, and I think you're spot on. I think the 3rd or 4th spot over Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen, I think is possible if Jacksonville has a 12 or 13 win season and makes a deep run in the playoffs. I don't see him passing Burrow or Mahomes. I mean, even if we win the Super Bowl, I think he's still probably top 3, but I'd put him at 6 with the potential to be 3 by the end of the year.
Clarify my Aaron Rodgers take, because I have a bit of a hot take with Aaron Rodgers. I believe he either has a very good season this year and takes the Jets to a playoff, or he gets hurt really early on and is out for the entire season.
Well, I don't see that happening. Honestly, either one of those, but well, that's why
knowing
the games.
Knowing the Jets and their luck, he goes out in like the first 2 games.
Knowing the Jets and their luck, he's just terrible.
For sure. Well, and let me just say on Trevor too, just thinking about the jump from year one to year two, I remember halfway through last season, both of you guys, Joey and JT, y'all were convinced that Trevor was top 10 quarterback in the league. And I was saying, no, not yet. You know, he's the future, but he's just nowhere near that level. Then, of course, he finishes the year, and I think everyone would put him easily in the top 10. And so I ate my words again. I hope I eat my words again, and he finishes, you know, top 3 this year. So just a huge jump from year one to year two to go from probably middle of the road to top 5 to 10 quarterback in the league for sure.
Sure. And for some people, they're saying, oh, well, you guys are just being homers. If you really look at the next 4 or 5 quarterbacks, I think it's pretty safe to say that Trevor is either at where they're at or certainly is past them and is trending in the right direction, where some of these guys are trending in the wrong direction. So a lot of the other quarterbacks in that next tier is Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, huge question mark.
Kirk Cousins, love throwing to the other team.
Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Tua. Like, I mean, you've got a lot of question marks with those guys. And I think it's fairly safe to say if you're building a team from scratch, you would rather have Trevor Lawrence or even just going into the season than most of those other quarterbacks.
Definitely. And the experience that Trevor Lawrence got last year towards the end of the year, I didn't believe he was very clutch at the beginning of the year. We kept losing those games just by a couple scores. And then all of a sudden something happened and he got that clutch gene. And we learned how to win on that last drive and being able to be that clutch. And then now to have the confidence to do that in the playoffs. Yeah, that experience, he's going to lead us. And he's going to be a top five quarterback this year, easy.
Well, we've loved to see the development over the last 2 years here with Trevor Lawrence. And what's interesting about the teams that we're going to be facing the AFC South this year is most likely we're going to see three rookie quarterbacks, with Will Levis at Tennessee, with C.J. Stroud at the Houston Texans, and then Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. So the question to you guys right now is, who do you like the best? Who scares you the most when we play them this season?
Who I like the best is Levis, because he's the least scary to me. Between not being immensely accurate, obviously a lot of teams didn't love him from, you know, being a potential top five pick. Even some people saying number one, to not even go in the first round. Obviously, a lot of people sold on him. Maybe because, and I can't remember. Do y'all remember? I know he liked mayonnaise and something weird.
I was in his coffee.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who likes mayonnaise in their coffee, you can't be a star quarterback with that combo.
Oh, that's perfect for Tennessee.
Weird. But who I fear the most is Stroud. I liked his game a lot in college. I thought he, to me, should have actually been the number one pick. He's got the height. He's got the athleticism. He's got a great arm. He put together two great years at Ohio State. I'm a little worried for the Houston Texans of the future with Stroud. We'll see how he pans out this year. We'll get to, I'm sure, watch some of him play this year. But to me, he's the top one of the three.
C.J. Stroud's probably scares me the most. And if he gets DeAndre Hopkins, like some people have the Houston Texans taking him, he could be even more scary this year. I would actually say I'm least scared of, though, is Anthony Richardson. I know people are so hyped on him. They think that he is the new standard for quarterback. He's so big and strong and can throw the ball for miles. But the problem is he's inaccurate. I mean, I watched him at UF. That man can't throw to save his life. He can't hit any wide receivers. I watched him go an entire half with zero completions. You think that's going to translate to the NFL? No way. The Colts are done for.
You know, Anthony Richardson is such a unique person and one of the most interesting prospects to watch over the next couple of years. So I went to the University of Florida. I obviously got to watch every game of AR, and he has the ceiling to be an all-timer. I mean, he could certainly be a top five quarterback in the next couple of years, or he could be completely out of the league in 3 to 4 years. And that's what's so interesting about the pick for the Colts. Completely agree with you on the accuracy, Joey. One other thing that nobody's talking about for Anthony Richardson, though, is he seems to be a little injury prone. I mean, at the University of Florida, he hurt his hamstring for a few games. He continued to start, but he stopped running during about a month and a half during that, while that had happened. As a high schooler, his senior year of high school, he ended up tearing his ACL and was out for pretty much the entire year, else he would have been a higher, more lauded prospect coming out of high school. And so, I don't know, something to keep an eye on. It seemed like there's plenty of times over the last year or so that he'd get up after being hit and was gimpy. And he wasn't as electric of a runner as some people would think. He seemed to have more kind of straightforward speed versus elusiveness that, let's say, a Michael Vick or even a Lamar Jackson had. But just to pile on, I would absolutely say C.J. Stroud is the one that scares me, not only for all the reasons why you guys already said that, but a huge fan of Dameon Pierce. I think he's a real deal and certainly an NFL caliber running back, if not a top 10 NFL caliber running back. I also really like D'Amico Ryans as a coach. I thought he did some great things with San Francisco. And so, yeah, I could easily see this being a situation where it's Houston and Jacksonville for a few years fighting out the supremacy on the AFC South, which would certainly be a role reversal from the previous decade.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting. How weird is it that Trevor Lawrence is the seasoned veteran of the AFC South and entering his third year? Again, we were just talking about how we hope that he takes another jump being so young. Really, in many ways, a lot of people kind of considering this his second full year because some people toss out that first year with Urban Meyer. But it's going to be interesting. And speaking of Trevor, just wanted to touch on the Jacksonville Jaguars backfield because we had a big draft where we took Tank Bigsby in the third round. A lot of people were surprised by that. And obviously, we took ETN in the first round here pretty recently, too, and added some free agents, too. And so I wanted to get y'all's take on how do you see the running back split going this season for the Jags?
You know, this is interesting. If you look at all the what the draft guys were saying about Tank Bigsby, is he seems to be one of the more polarizing running backs coming out of this year's draft. On the positive, he was a five-star guy coming out of high school. He seems to be a pretty good locker room guy. He had the opportunity to leave Auburn, and he chose to stay his final year in order to stay loyal to the team and to the fans. The concerns, though, is production dipped last year. And the other concern is he really was not as productive against the better half of the teams in the SEC. Now, Auburn was not that good of a year, and by the end of the year, they're close to a dumpster fire. So how good is Tank Bigsby against NFL-level talent, I think, remains to be seen. If it were me, I think he's going to get a little less production than I think folks are thinking. I'm optimistic about him, but at the same time, I certainly think ETN's going to get 70% of the carries early on, maybe split 15-15 for the rest between Johnson and Tank. Maybe Tank, they try to give Tank a little bit more as the season goes along, but I still think it's going to be ETN's backfield to lose at this point.
No, I agree with you that it's ETN's backfield, but I disagree on Tank Bigsby. I think they're going to use him as that third down back and red zone guy. Everyone who's talked about him at OTAs of talking about how built he is and how just strong he looks. I know that his weight is almost the same as ETN's, but just the way that he's actually like built and the way he looks is just stronger. And also the way he runs is different. So I kind of see Jacksonville doing a split running back one, running back two type deal with ETN and then Hasty under ETN in case ETN ever went down or anything like that. They have Hasty as these quick sort of sweep running backs or get the ball out to them on a quick pass. And then you have kind of your bruiser running backs with Tank Bigsby and maybe Johnson.
Yeah, I probably fall somewhere in between you guys. I think I didn't love the pick in the third round of Tank Bigsby, and so I'm trying to sell myself more on it for sure. It just felt really high to go running back, potentially what, I mean, we assumed to be a backup running back to ETN, as we've all said. But I think it also says about ETN that he's just not necessarily an every down guy. He's obviously a special player, had some huge plays, a 4th-and-1 run in the playoff game to set up that game-winning field goal makes him a Jaguars hero without a doubt, and had huge plays throughout the year. I know I saw some people saying, you know, he's going to be a breakout player. Well, he already broke out last year. He had a very good year. And so as far as the backfield split, I think ETN takes about 60%. I think you'll see him get a good amount of receiving. Tank probably about 20%. And I actually really like Johnson. I was glad with that pickup. That was a part of the reason, too. I was a little surprised by the draft pick because I think you could see Johnson take pretty much the other 20% with Hasty sprinkled in throughout as well.
All right. So two questions for you guys then. You guys both seem to be a little bit higher on Tank than I am right now. Over under 100 carries for Tank this year. So that would be a little under 6 carries per game over a 17-game stretch.
I could see it being right at like 100 or maybe like 95. But I don't see it really that much more than 100.
So you're going under, Joey?
I'm going to bet the line.
Come on, Joey. You were all on the tank train just a minute ago.
Now you're hedging your bets.
No. I'm not hedging my bets. He's still going to get a lot of carries, but I mean, it's going to be third down and red zone stuff. He's not going to get the middle of the field, because if you watch last year, ETN, that's where he struggled. He couldn't quite get it into the end zone. And when we needed that third and one or even fourth and one, he had to get to the outside to pick it up. He couldn't get in the middle. So
you think we see Tank touch the ball or not touch the ball, carry the ball five times a game on average?
Yeah, I would say it will depend on the game. I think some games he may get about 12. I think some games he may not really get to touch the ball. It just depends on how many short yardage attempts there'll be at game.
All right, Jack, over under.
I'll go under too. I think you're going to see him start the season with not a ton of carries just because the backfield's so crowded. I'm hopeful that he can find a spot, whether it's to Joey's point, you know, those short down yardage where he can get at least a 6 to 8, at most 10 carries. But I think the first several games, you'll see him not touch the ball a whole lot. So I could see him finishing probably 80 to 90 carries where he's getting that average towards the end of the season, but not at the beginning. Okay. All right, flip the mic. What about you, JT?
Yeah, I would take the under. I think you would have to be 70 before I would potentially take the over. I think he's going to average less than right around 4 carries a game. So here's the other question for you then, though. So let's say Tank actually does produce and he's doing well. And let's say ETN puts up similar production in the next couple of years. Do you see a scenario where we do not give ETN a second contract?
For sure, which hurts. You'd hate to see a first-round player walk. But I think everyone at this point in the NFL has seen running backs just don't have longevity. And so to pay a long contract, which I'm sure he would want at that stage, decent money, we're going to hopefully by that point have a lot of playmakers. Of course, we're going to have a big contract for Trevor, some of the wide receivers, maybe a tight end or so. And then, of course, on the defensive side of the ball. So I think if Tank plays really well and is a significantly cheaper option than what ETN would be on a new contract, I mean, maybe try to sign and trade him for, you know, a late draft pick, but I think you would for sure let him walk at that point. It'd be tough, but I think you'd have to.
Yeah. Over is the years of the running back, honestly. Almost no running back gets a second contract. There's no more Derrick Henrys of the world. I think he's kind of the last one, the dying breed, where you have one running back who carries the team. Now you have 2-3 running backs, and they're all young, kind of in their first or second year. No one kind of sticks with them. They get run down really quickly. It's all about the new guy and the new shiny thing for the draft.
Yeah, just look at what's taking place this offseason. And look, I'm a big Dalvin Cook fan. I'm a Florida State fan. I love what he did at Florida State. He carried Minnesota's offense for years. But now all of a sudden they're talking about just letting him walk for nothing. And living here in Dallas, you know, we've seen this with Ezekiel Elliott this offseason, where he's been cut and no one at this point has even necessarily picked him up. And so it's just interesting, you know, it is a different era to Joey's point of you're not seeing 10, 12, 15 dominant years of one stud NFL running back anymore.
Yeah, I agree with all of your guys' points there. I find it hard to see us re-signing ETN, assuming he has similar production and assuming some of the other options could be halfway decent. For me, especially when you're going to have to pay Trevor $200 to $250 million over the course of his next contract, you're just going to have to make hard decisions like that. And at the end of the day, maybe that's what Bilocki's doing by signing him in the third round. He resets the play clock, if you will, for 2 more years on a good starting running back. And so we'll have to see how they perform this year.
Definitely. And then I want to kind of end with talking about another person getting re-signed possibly next year, Josh Allen. has been all over the kind of Jags news. A lot of people are on board with him and keeping him, and then a lot of people who are like, I want to see him get double-digit sacks or he walks. Where are y'all at?
The latter, for sure. I mean, Josh Allen at times has looked unbelievable. I think we all remember the game against Buffalo where he was truly the best Josh Allen on the field. I think he had four sacks, another tackle for loss that day. But at the end of the day, we only see that in spurts. Other times he's completely invisible on defense. I mean, like, let's not sugarcoat it. There were times where Jacksonville's defense was downright horrible last year. And so with Josh Allen on the field for a lot of it. So if you're still seeing him kind of in that 8 to 9.5 sack range, maybe 8 to 11 sack range, I don't know. I think there's going to be a difference between what he thinks he deserves and what the Jags are actually willing to pay him.
But the problem is, if you let him walk, who are you going to replace him with? Because he is far beyond any other defensive player right now on our team. And I know his sack numbers aren't anything to like gawk after, but he's still done incredible at all the other categories. He ranked on PFF number 7 in all edge rushers. So you let him go, who you replace him with? A draft pick, or
Jacksonville, like, can't continue to overpay. Josh Allen is not a top 10. Josh Allen is not a top 10 edge rusher.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that ranking.
He is. He does everything really well, and he just doesn't have anyone else on the other side right now to help him out. He's getting pressures, but the problem is the quarterback rolls out and is able to go to the other side. So Josh Allen needs that other person to pinch the pocket for him so he can finish the plays. I think he's easily a double-digit sack guy if Walker can come in and pinch the side for him this year.
Well, you said in your question, if he's like, does he need to be a double-digit sack guy in order to be resigned? Yes, of course. Absolutely. So I guess the question for you, Joey, if he only has 8.5 sacks next year and all of a sudden Josh Allen walks into the negotiating room and says, hey, I'm the 7th best defensive end, you should pay me that type of money, I'd say, get out of here. You're crazy.
Nah. No, I'd still pay him, because who are you going to replace him with?
Be the voice of reason here, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you need to see Walker step up at some. I mean, you're talking about the number one overall pick. I mean, you can't just have him be a few. I mean, he's got to be a double-digit sack guy as well. And look, I love Josh Allen. I've been a big fan. I know some people are saying just cut our losses and trade him. I don't buy that, but I think he needs to step up and prove it, because the reality is, as much as you love him, Joey, and I love him too, he had a dominant rookie year, and really the trajectory for his play has been slightly downhill each year following. And so he's got to reverse that trend, to me, if we're going to pay him big money.
Well, I mean, I think he had a much better season than people are giving him. I know he only had like 7.5 sacks, but there's more to being an edge rusher than just sacks. Like, he had a really good season, and every big play pretty much that came from the defense came off of something that he did. And I think it's pretty blaringly obvious that the Jaguars feel the same way I do, because if they didn't, then they would go ahead and sign a veteran rusher this year, so that way they could have him for a year, get him to know the defense, and then he would take over for Josh Allen. But they're obviously not looking to make that kind of move. So I think there's no way that they let him walk next year, even however he performs.
Yeah, and so you're spot on there, Jack. Like, he had a great rookie year, lit the world on fire, and then since then has been average. I mean, if you look at what he's done over the last couple of years, he's averaged 7 sacks last year, 7.5 the year before, and his tackles for loss, he only has 4 or 5 other additional tackles for loss. I mean, he's not a top 10 guy. He's a top 20 guy. He's certainly a starting NFL defensive end, but he is not going to be, we're not going to be able to pay him, I think, at the end of the day.
I think he's definitely better than average. I wouldn't go that far as labeling him as average, but he's the wrong trajectory. And look, you know, episode one, I said my breakout player is Josh Allen. I think we see double digit sacks. I think hopefully he's not playing for the money. Hopefully we're just rolling and he gets excited and we see him be a defensive force, a defensive monster again. But the reality is, looking into next year, the Jaguars enter a whole new landscape with paying Trevor. Most likely next year, if they can, if not the next year, they're going to sign him to a huge deal. And all of a sudden, you can't pay everybody. And so
that's my point.
Josh Allen's got to prove it this year. And I think he will, but he's got to.
Yes, agreed. I think this is a prove it year. I certainly see there being a lot of scenarios where we do not necessarily re-sign him. Joey, I'll give you the last word.
I mean, I understand that we can't sign everyone. I know there's a lot of people coming up, Calvin Ridley, Evan Ingram, Josh Allen, possibly Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot to be re-signed, but the problem is you can't let him walk unless you have someone behind him, and there's just not someone behind him. So you can't let him walk no matter what. He kind of holds all the playing cards right here, because if he walks, the defense gets so much worse.
Well, again, you have to see Walker step up, I suppose. But anyways, well, hey, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. This was episode number 2. We're 94 days away from the season, and it cannot come fast enough for us. So really appreciate the folks that have reached out to us and given us some feedback. Please rate and review us online. I think we're right now 7th on Jaguar podcasts in Apple, which is amazing considering we've only done one podcast. But in order to help those algorithms, in order to help our positioning, we would love to see some additional 5-star reviews. If you hate it, then don't review it and just send us a note on Twitter bashing us, or at least giving us some constructive criticism on how to continue to improve the show. And so leave a review, connect with us on Twitter. Thank you guys all for listening. And one final thing. Duval!